Welcome to day 10 of our 180-day journey through the Westminster Standards, 170 days left. This is not the time to quit, though. We're just getting started. The next chapter is on creation, and a subsequent chapter will be on the fall of man. So we're talking about what happened before the world was even created. And what we see in the Confession and the Catechism is that God had a plan, and that the plan leads ultimately to his glory. As Philippians 2, 10 and 11 says that eventually, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everything in God's plan that he had before the creation of the world was that things would lead to the glory of God. We're at a tough part of the Confession now, and the Catechism. So let's dig in. And like I say, persistence here is the name of the game. We've got a lot to cover, and it all unfolds and comes together in a great package that I think does indeed give God all the glory. Catechism question 13 is, what has God especially decreed concerning angels and men? Answer, God, by an eternal and immutable decree, out of his mere love, for the praise of his glorious grace, to be manifested in due time, has elected some angels to glory, and in Christ hath chosen some men to eternal life, and the means thereof. And also, according to his sovereign power and the unsearchable counsel of his own will, whereby he extends or withholds favor as he pleases, has passed by and foreordained the rest to dishonor and wrath, to be for their sin inflicted, to the praise and glory of his justice. The mention of elect angels is in 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Then the idea of Christ, that of some men being chosen in Christ to eternal life and the means thereof. The means to their obtaining eternal life is in Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. And 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, to the idea that the rest would be are foreordained to dishonor and wrath, wrath to be inflicted for their sin, to the praise and glory of his justice. We're in Romans 9 again, verses 17, 18, and 21, 22. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout the earth. Therefore, he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Matthew 11:25-26. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. 2 Timothy 2:20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Jude 4, For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, 1 Peter 2:8, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now this long answer in the catechism is summarized in chapter 3, section 3 of the Westminster Confession of Faith. I will read section 3. By the decree of God for the manifestation of his glory, some men and angels are predestined unto everlasting life, and others foreordained to everlasting death. We've seen the verse about the elect angels, but also the confession adds, Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Then also, as to some being predestined unto everlasting life, and others to everlasting death, as far as men go, Romans 9:22, which we just read above, and Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And Proverbs 16:4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. Then section 4 of the Confession of Faith, section 4 of chapter 3. These angels and men, thus predestinated and foreordained, are particularly and unchangeably designed, and their number so certain and definite that it cannot be either increased or diminished. We're directed to 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And John 13:18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Referring, of course, to Judas Iscariot. Then section 5 of the Confession, chapter 3. Those of mankind that are predestined unto life, God, before the foundation of the world was laid, according to his eternal and immutable purpose, and the secret counsel and good pleasure of his will, has chosen in Christ unto everlasting glory, out of his mere free grace and love, without any foresight of faith or good works or perseverance in either of them, or any other thing in the creature, as conditions or causes moving him thereunto, and all to the praise of his glorious grace. Okay, the first phrase, those of mankind that are predestined unto life, God, before the foundation of the world was laid, according to his purpose and counsel and pleasure, has chosen into Christ unto everlasting glory. Ephesians 1:4, 9, and 11. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The middle section, that out of his mere free grace and love, without any foresight of faith or good works or perseverance in any of them or any other thing in the creature, as conditions or causes moving him thereunto, we're directed to Romans 9:11-16. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And once again, Ephesians 1:4-9. Then the final section, that all of this moves to the praise of his glorious grace, that it's not about us, it's all about him. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. So God planned everything out to demonstrate his mercy and his justice, to give him maximum glory, and then he created everything just the way he wanted it. And there are three more sections in this chapter on God's eternal decree, and we'll look at those tomorrow before we get to the chapter on creation.